Good morning, everyone. I think most of the congregation is still out in the foyer, which is where I was. Anyway, it's good to have you here. Come on in. Good to have you here today. Happy Mother's Day to you moms. I'm Pastor Sam Rodenheiser, and on behalf of the pastoral team and the Grace family, I'd like to welcome you to our service this morning. I feel like I should wait a couple of minutes. Do you know any like special songs or anything we could do? Paul? Paul? Just have them close the doors. Oh, other Paul. Okay, great. Anyway, as I was saying, Happy Mother's Day. When you came in, you should have received a bulletin, and I want to just highlight three things real quickly from the bulletin. First of all, this Thursday, we will have a congregational meeting, quarterly meeting, be over in 105 at 7 o'clock. We hope you'll join us for that. And then on May 31st, we're going to have an all-church work day. That's a Saturday. It'll be from 8 until 2. So we hope you can spare a little bit of time. It doesn't have to be the whole day, but just a little bit of time to come, and there'll be plenty of chores for you to tend to on that day. And then Memorial Day Sunday, which is 2 weeks from today, we are going to have one service at 10 o'clock. We kind of join everybody together, one big happy family. There will be no Sunday school, and so just keep that in mind. 10 o'clock, one service on Memorial Day Sunday. If you're a newcomer to Grace, we especially welcome you and encourage you to pick up one of our Grace Church mugs as our way of saying thanks for being here. When you go through the center double doors in the back to your left, you'll see a counter that says Welcome Center, and there you can pick up a mug for yourself, and we hope you will. As we prepare for worship this morning, I want to read a few verses from Psalm 103. It says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And then it goes through a number of these benefits, but 11 and 12 are a couple that we need to focus on. It says, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Now, if you listed all the benefits, all the things that God has given us, it'd be a long list. But near the top would have to be that he has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, we've been forgiven through what Jesus has done. Now, given all those reasons to praise God, all the benefits, I think we can stand and give him our praise. So let's do that together as we offer him our praise.
light of the sun and your loving kindness, loving kindness, better than life. Your grace is all sufficient, it's an all sufficient grace. Your power and your glory are forever on display, and your loving kindness, loving kindness, is better than life. My heart cries out, glory to the King, my God.
Let's join together in a time of prayer. Will you please bow your heads? Heavenly Father, it is good to sing praises to your name. It's good to gather in this place, sing songs of praise and adoration. And Father, we have so much to thank you for, so much to give you praise for. To think that we as sinners were provided a way to come into your presence, that we might be in relationship with you again, that our sins would be not counted against us, but instead we would be your adopted children. That is a remarkable thing. And Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning and we sing your praise, we also are thankful that you have provided to us the power we need for daily living, that you've given us everything we need for life and godliness, and that you've not simply just left us to our own devices, but instead you care about the day-to-day. You care about our hurts. You care about those things that we struggle with. You care about our joys. And Heavenly Father, we bow before you in thanks for that. And Father, this morning we thank you for moms. And Father, we recognize the work they do. We recognize the pressures they face. We recognize the wisdom that they have to have. And we realize, Father, that in our culture, the lives of moms are so often torn in so many different directions. And yet, Father, you have provided us your word that it might strengthen the hearts of moms, and that those moms might be as Christ for their children, helping to train them up in the way they should go. And on this Mother's Day, we are reminded, Father, that there are those whose memories of home are not very good. And so, Father, we ask for a special measure of your grace to rest upon those who on this day are hurting. And Father, we lift up to you the reading of the word today. We pray that you would be with Pastor Sam as he brings us the thoughts and meditations of his heart. And we pray, Father, that the very same Spirit that spoke to him during the week to drive him forward in the Word, to draw him to particular passages in Scripture, we pray that that Holy Spirit would be dwelling with us this morning, and that that Spirit would guide us as we listen to the Word, drawing us ever closer to you in ever greater fidelity. And Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the freedoms that allow us to gather in this place. And we pray that all that we say and do will magnify your name and bring you glory. And we pray this in Christ's most holy and most excellent and most wonderful of names. Amen.
Please stand and join with us singing hymn number 1, For the Beauty of the Earth.
Thank you.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, any day is a good day to honor and recognize motherhood and our moms. And of course, this being Mother's Day, it's especially appropriate and a great opportunity to honor our moms, whether they be our own moms or whether they be the mother of our children or whatever the case may be. But I thought you take a moment to honor our moms, but I thought we would start, I don't know if we've done this before, I thought we would start with those who are moms of moms, that is, our grandparents, our grandmoms that are here. So I'm sure we have a few of them. So why don't we start by having all of you that are here that are grandmothers, if you'd stand at this time, we want to recognize you. Grandmothers. You can stay up. You can remain standing. So your grandmothers still remain standing. And now, all of you who are moms, I would like for you to join them so we can recognize you too. Obviously, we are very dependent upon our grandmothers because, you know what they say, if your parents don't have children, then you won't have children. So we're thankful for our grandmothers as well as our moms. We certainly appreciate all that you are and all that you do and how you enrich our lives. Again, whether you are our moms, and some of us are still blessed to have our moms with us, and others, their moms have gone on. But it's a great opportunity and privilege for us to honor you and to recognize you today. I'd like to just offer prayer for you, so if you'll bow with me. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful for moms, for those who have raised us, who have been there for us, encouraging us, helping us along the way, teaching us, as your word says, in the way we should go, being a constant source of encouragement through times that were challenging and difficult, and yet remained with us to help us along. We thank you for that. We thank you for those who are here today, who represent untold diligence and faithfulness in carrying out this high and holy calling to be a mom, to be steadfast for the wisdom that you've given them, for the patience, for the knowledge necessary to be a good mom, to be an effective mom. We pray your blessing upon them and upon the homes that they represent, that you would continue to give them insight and wisdom and diligence and patience and energy and the ability to juggle so many responsibilities day after day, that they would do it well, faithfully, and effectively. Again, we thank you for them. We count it a great privilege to be able to honor them this day. And we do that as we give you thanks for them and commit them into your care and commend them to your blessing. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
I'd like to invite the Hosanna kids to come forward. So if you are 4 years old through fourth grade, come join me up here on the stairs. Again, our Hosanna Kids is a time of our service that we set aside specifically. It's a time of worship for kids of this age so that they can have an opportunity to hear the gospel in a way that they can understand and hopefully to be able to respond to that, to the gospel as well. Hi, how are you? Good. Come on, we got lots of room up here, guys. Come on, sit down. Will you all join with me as we pray for our Hosanna kids today? Father, again, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to be with our kids. And we thank you, Father, for the great joy that they bring to our lives. We thank you, Father, also for the challenges that it brings. And Lord God, we pray today that as they go off to Hosanna Kids, as they learn more about who you are, as they learn about holiness, and as they learn about the Ten Commandments and what you expect of us and why you expect it of us. Father, we ask that today, if there are any who do not yet know you as their Savior and as their Lord, that today they would choose to walk with you and to become your children. And Father, we also pray for their moms and dads that are represented here. And again, Father, we recognize that parenting isn't for cowards. And so, Father, we ask that you would give them grace, you would give their moms and dads wisdom as they endeavor to raise these children, and hopefully as they are endeavoring to lead them to you and to what to model before them what living as a disciple of Christ looks like. Father, we also ask that you'd watch over their teachers today and that you would bless them in their time together. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you guys, you can go through that door right over there. And now I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward. And let's continue to worship the Lord this morning together as we give him our tithes and our offerings. Would you pray with me? Father, again, we thank you for the privilege that it is to be able to gather together as your people. And we thank you, Father, that we can do this in freedom. We thank you, Father, that we can gather together without fear. And Father, that we can come together and praise you and glorify you. And as we have done that already through singing, and as we are going to do that through the hearing and applying of your word to our lives, we do it now, Father, by giving back to you out of the abundance that you have given to us. Father, we recognize that we cannot give enough to buy our salvation, that there's no way we could do that. But Father, we do want to be able to tangibly express our thanks to you. And also, Father, to be given a very tangible way to be a part of building your kingdom. And so, Father, as we give these tithes and these offerings, as they go in ministry here at Grace, as they go out into this community, Father, as they literally go around the world to the missionaries that we are supporting, Father, we ask that you would be glorified in all of it, that you would add your blessing to it, and Father God, that the gospel message would be attached. And Father, pray that we would not only give of our material wealth, but Father, you would challenge us to give our entire lives to you, to be used by you, to be through them, have the gospel taken to others. We do pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
I forgot to mention a few moments ago that we have carnations here for each mom that's here today. So when the service ends and you exit through those center double doors, be sure to get a carnation for yourself if you're here today as a mom. And we're probably going to have a few extras. So you might want to hang around for a minute. And if you're going to see your mom today, you can take a carnation for her as well. So don't forget when you leave. You don't go through the side door, so you'll forget. But there for you at the end of the service. It's been a number of years since we had a Mother's Day quiz, and you know how much I like quizzes. So I thought we would do another one. So we're going to have one today, and if you didn't study in advance, it's okay. You won't need to have any advanced study. It won't count on your permanent record, so you don't have to worry about that. And we're not even going to ask what your grades are. So if you will take a piece of paper, your bulletin. You can use the sermon notes page, whatever you like. And we'll get started. Number your paper 1 through 8. And this is a true-false quiz. There aren't any other kinds of questions. There's no essay or multiple choice, fill in the blank. So it'll be easy. You can even just put T or F if you like, but every question can be answered with true or false. Ready? Okay, question number 1. Mother's Day in America was founded by a West Virginia school teacher named Anna Jarvis in remembrance of her own mother. Is that true or false? Okay, question 2. The first modern Mother's Day was celebrated in a church where carnations were given to the moms in recognition of the founder's mother's favorite flower. True or false? No talking with your neighbor. Don't want to have to send you to the principal's office. Number 3. In 1914, President Woodrow Wilson signed a congressional resolution designating the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. True or false? Number 4. Mother's Day in America is a $14 billion industry, and Mother's Day is the second highest gift-giving day of the year behind Christmas. True or false? And some of you fathers are thinking, if this is true, boy, am I in big trouble. Number 5. Some husbands and fathers still manage to forget that Mother's Day is coming, even though it's been the second Sunday in May for nearly 100 years. Not to make anybody feel bad. Number 6. According to the National Restaurant Association, Mother's Day is the most popular day of the year to dine out in a restaurant. Now, any of you that have tried to get a reservation for today for lunch, you know the answer to that. Number 7. The cordless electric drill has never been the most popular gift to give on Mother's Day. Even though some of you have given it more than once. And number 8 and last, Mother's Day was not founded by the late Joan Crawford. True or false? Hopefully your kids won't ask you when you get home what that means. Okay, so total up your score. All of the answers are true. Okay, so you should have no false answers on your paper. So total up the number. And I'm going to give you a rating system here so you can rate yourself on how well you did. If you got all 8 right, you can preach the next Mother's Day sermon in May of 2009. Just check with me after the service. I've already had a couple come up to me after the 8:30 service, so we might have to have a bidding war or something like that to see who gets to do it. If you had 6 right or more, it means you probably already have your Mother's Day gift wrapped and the card signed at home. 4 right means that you can identify your own mother 3 out of 5 times. And if you got 2 or less right, it means that you just realized that today is Mother's Day. And I encourage you at the end of the service to come up for prayer, because you will definitely need it. Okay, those of you who've been around for a while have heard me say many times that every parent is a teacher. Not every teacher is a parent, but every parent is a teacher. Parents teach their children in a lot of different ways, by what they say and what they don't say, through what they do and don't do. They teach their children through their attitude and their mood and their values. Primarily, parents teach their children through who they are. Teaching may be overt or covert. It may be deliberate, it may be passive. It may be planned, or it may be spontaneous. But teaching is going on all the time. The question is not whether mom and dad are a teacher. The question is, what kind of a teacher are they? Only the ignorant or those who have never been parents would claim that parenting is easy. Or as we've just been reminded, parenting is not for cowards. It certainly isn't. Parenting has probably never been easy at any time throughout history. Good parenting involves many things, but probably foremost, it involves teaching. Now, we know the biblical admonition. It says, teach or train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. If we want our children to hold steady in the latter years, then we must, as parents, commit ourselves to teaching them in the former years. But though we may start with the biblical mandate to teach our children what they should know, we often move on to other sources when it comes to the actual instruction, but the most basic and the most significant and the most timeless teaching and counsel comes right out of the Bible itself. So this Mother's Day, I'd like to give four prevailing parental proverbs that I know will be helpful to you moms and also to you dads. If your children are grown, not to worry, because this will work for grandparents too. Grandparents still have a huge amount of influence on their children. And if you're not a parent or a grandparent and have never been, then this will apply personally to you as well. Not likely you're going to hear anything that sounds new, not deep or profound, but therein lies the beauty of the Proverbs. The Proverbs give us principles for living, and one of the greatest things about the Proverbs is their simplicity. They're not complex, they're simple. Theodore Roosevelt made the following observation many years ago, and I find it as a parent very encouraging. He said, "No other success in life, not being president or being wealthy or going to college or writing a book or anything else, come up to the success of the man or woman who can feel that they have done their duty and that their children and grandchildren rise up and call them blessed." If you're a parent, you have a very high and holy calling. It's one of the highest there is. So it behooves us to do it well and to see what God has to say about how to do it well. One thing that we should teach our children is found in Proverbs 19, verse 19. It says, "A hot-tempered man must pay the penalty. If you rescue him, you will have to do it again." We must teach our children to accept responsibility for their own actions. Some parents live with this horrible fear that their kids are going to suffer because of their choices and because of their sinful behavior. But virtually the only way we learn life principles is by suffering the consequences of our bad choices. We're so slow, we tend to be so stubborn, and we are so self-justifying that it's unlikely we're going to ever learn what's right unless we learn from what's wrong. That's just the way it is. Anyone here ever hit their thumb with a hammer? Anyone? When you hit your thumb with a hammer, I bet it hurts. Probably a lot. So the next time you were swinging a hammer, I suspect that you were more careful to make sure that your thumb was out of the way of that swinging head of the hammer. Now suppose when you hit your thumb with the hammer, there was absolutely no pain at all. There was no feeling whatsoever when you wrapped your thumb with the hammer. Would you take the same precaution the next time to keep your thumb in a safe location? I suspect that you wouldn't. And over a period of time, because it doesn't hurt when you hit your thumb, you're going to probably hit your thumb over and over and over again until it reaches the point where your thumb begins to resemble something like a strip of bacon. Now, the good news is that your thumb would not hurt. The bad news is that your thumb would become pretty useless as a thumb. If there are no consequences to our actions, then our behavior is very unlikely to change. Parents actually do harm to their children when they shield them from the consequences of their actions. Some parents don't even allow their children to suffer the natural consequences of their behavior. But unpleasant consequences for wrong behavior actually serve as an excellent tutor. They're one of the most effective ways that we learn. I'm only suggesting that we follow the proverb, that we teach our children to take responsibility for their actions. It begins with facing the consequences of them. Our kids will make mistakes, you know that. They will make foolish choices. They will make sinful decisions. They will do some pretty dumb things over a period of time. But we need not worry. It's how they learn. In fact, it's how we learn. The next proverb is Proverbs 4, 25 through 27. It says, "Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil." The next thing we need to teach our children is how to deal with one of the most inevitable certainties of life, and that is temptation. No person can go any length of time in life without facing temptation. Temptation being the pull or the appeal to do something that violates God's word. Temptation itself is not the evil. The evil is the action that the temptation solicits. Temptation, if you will, is the offer. Sin is the acceptance of that offer. Now, there's very good news in the Bible when it comes to temptation, and you're probably familiar with it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. "No temptation has seized us except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, He will provide also a way out so that you can stand up under it." Here we're told that temptation is not something that we alone face, that we've been cursed with this weakness or this frailty that escapes other people. That's not so. The things that tempt us are the very things that tempt others. So how are children taught to overcome temptation? Well, there are a lot of ways, but this proverb is actually a key. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet. Take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or the left. The point is that we best avoid the wrong path by simply staying on the right path. Which sounds rather simple, doesn't it? It should. It is simple. Not easy, but it is simple. Temptation is essentially the pull at us to leave the straight path and take another path, an alternate one. We even know the other path is not the right one, but we take it nevertheless. We try to convince ourselves that it's complex, that there's deceit involved, or it's confusing, or I'm not sure that that's the wrong path. But that's very rarely the case. It's not complex at all. The only way you cheat on an exam is by saying yes to cheating. The straight path is honesty. Cheating means you have chosen to leave that straight path to take another one. No one ever committed adultery by saying no to it. You must say yes to it. The straight path is faithfulness. Adultery is a different path entirely. No one is faced, or no one is forced to disobey. Whenever we disobey, there's one reason. We choose to. We choose to disobey, and we shouldn't kid ourselves that it's any other way than a choice. Wish I had some secret formula I could share with you today that you've never heard before that would be seen as the solution, the answer to dealing with temptation. But there is no secret formula. It's just what the Bible says, that we deal with temptation by staying on the right path and by not taking the wrong one. And our kids must understand that they are never forced to yield to temptation. We are not forced to yield to temptation. Yielding is a choice. It always is. It always has been. The next thing moms and dads should teach their children is especially difficult because it's an area that we tend to struggle with so much ourselves. Our children must be taught to control their anger. Proverbs 16:32 says, "Better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city." In a sense, the ability to defer one's anger and control one's spirit is saying that it exemplifies a strength that's worthy of comparison to a military victory. Anger blinds us and causes us to misread and misinterpret. It causes us to say and do foolish things. It fosters anger in others. It drives away friends and family. And though not all anger is sin, and the Bible is clear that not all anger is sin, the fact is most anger is sin. And most of us get angry because we resent that our own personal preferences and our own personal interests are not being honored. Now, a good overall approach is expressed in James 1:19. It says, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires." So, if we are patient and quick to listen, and we are not overly anxious to speak our own mind and make sure everybody knows what our opinion is, then much of our anger will be diffused. At least it will be more manageable. The last lesson is in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." We want to teach our children to trust God, not to lean upon their own understanding, but to rely upon God's wisdom and not upon their own limited insight. When obedient trust is present, God leads us along life's potentially difficult paths. Straight path, not necessarily the easy path, but it's less complicated. Some of us, in fact, here live very complex lives. And by complex, I don't mean deep or profound. I mean confusing and perplexing. The path we travel along that comes by leaning upon God's wisdom is a simpler path. It's a simpler path, so it's simpler to follow. As our kids grow up in this world, their choices are going to far exceed the choices that we had. They have more options than we ever dreamed of. And they'll need assurance and confidence that comes by submitting to God's wisdom and not arrogantly thinking that theirs is superior to it. It is not. Motherhood, as I've said, is a high and holy calling. Now, the honor of motherhood appears to be returning to our culture. There was a time, say the last maybe two, three, four decades, when it's kind of lost a lot of its respect and honor in our society, probably because so many people feel that there are worthier or more noble pursuits. But it seems to be returning in terms of its respect and honor. But if someone should speak to you in a kind of condescending way as a mom, as if they are involved in more noble pursuits because they have opted out of motherhood, and if they should ask you what you do for a living, you might want to answer them like this woman did. She said, "I am training two Homo sapiens in the core values of a Judeo-Christian tradition in order that they might be instruments for the transformation of the social order into the teleologically prescribed utopia inherent in the eschaton to the glory of God. What do you do?" And that should make your point. For those who are believers in Jesus Christ and have enlisted as His disciples, then training our children in the way they should go is just an aspect of the life of a committed disciple. These prevailing parental proverbs should not only be taught to our children, but they should be lived out by us as well. In fact, living them out ourselves is the most effective way of teaching them to our children. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, it's doubtful that we could say too many times what a marvelous privilege it is to be a parent. And yet, what great responsibility goes with it. An endless challenge, day after day, year after year. And even those parents whose children have moved away and have married and even have children of their own, there's still a sense in which we will always be parenting. Hopefully, always offering insight and wisdom to our children, if for no other reason than we are farther down the road than they are. We pray that you would empower us to be good parents, to be faithful in living out this calling and this challenge, that you would give wisdom and energy and strength, that we would draw upon the wisdom of your word and the strength that your Spirit supplies, so that we too can join the ranks of those who have been good and effective parents, not perfect parents. We know there are no perfect parents in this world, but there are many good ones and many effective ones that you use to make a huge difference in this world. So to that end, we commit ourselves and we pray for your strength and your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Remain standing.
Two very brief announcements. Again, we have a congregational meeting this Thursday, May 15th at 7 p.m. we'll be meeting in room 105. And also, we want to just thank you again for your faithfulness in helping us take the chairs down, but we do not need to take them down today. So please just leave them as they are, and we will return to that again next week. We've been reminded today of four things. We've been reminded that we, as parents, need to teach our children to face the consequences of their actions. We also need to teach them how to deal with temptation. We need to teach them to control their anger while we're learning to do that ourselves. And we also need to teach them how they can go about trusting God and what the gospel means in their lives. Big challenges. Challenges that we ourselves, of course, need help on and encouragement with. And challenges that we are able to do as we are dependent upon the Holy Spirit in our lives to bring these things through us to enable us to teach them to our kids and to those who are around us. If you are here today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to invite you to come forward following the service. We'd love to be able to talk with you more about that and how you can come to know Christ today. If you have a need of prayer in your life, something that's going on that you would like prayer for, or something that you would like to praise God for, we invite you to come forward for that as well. We want you to know that we walk with you and pray with you in the times of trouble as well as in the times of joy. Now would you receive the benediction? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his face towards you and give you his peace, now and forevermore. People of God, go in peace from this place. You are dearly loved. Amen.